somebody and smile at them tonight? They need a smile. Amen. Tonight. Praise the Lord. And I just want to take a few minutes before I get into the Word. I want to talk tonight about a time to laugh. But I just want to talk a moment about how God has everything in control. Prayer keeps me into the realm of faith and trust that God is still in control, no matter if the world is out of control. Tonight, our nation is facing a crisis. Our nation is facing more division. Our nation is facing something that should never have happened. A woman died today. The concern is real. We cannot, as Christians, just walk around without the reality of our circumstances. But at the same time, we know someone that's greater than our circumstances. If there was ever a time for us to stay in prayer and let it start in your home. So I want to pray for those that are watching tonight. Father, I pray a spirit of comfort and peace to be on all those that are watching tonight. Lord, I pray for a trust and a faith to believe that your word is true, that as we see the day approaching, our redemption draws nigh. And we pray for our leaders. We pray for a spirit of unity to come to our land. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a shout tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, I want to talk about tonight. It's a time to laugh. It's a time to laugh. And I just was praying the other day, and I've never preached this, that there was a time to laugh. But how many believe after 2020, it's time to laugh? Amen. And it's interesting because we're going to talk about the laugh of faith. Now, the laugh of faith is different than the laugh because you heard something funny or you heard a funny joke. The laugh of faith is different. And I want to explain tonight through the power of God's word that God said it's time to laugh again. And I'm going to start, we're going to talk about Sarah tonight, but before we get to her, we're going to start with Psalm 126 and verse 1. Kind of describes a little bit of what we're going through. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, therefore we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This was written when they were in Babylon and they were in captivity. Jeremiah the prophet had said, you're going to be in captivity 70 years. But we know, because of the prayer going on in Babylon, they actually got released after 69 years. And so the writer said, even though, hallelujah, even though we were in captivity, we held out and believed the day the captivity would be gone. And when that day came, it was like we were dreaming. But the reality is, the laugh of faith came forward. The laugh of faith. And I believe this. When Jesus breaks the sky and the trumpet sounds, I believe the first thing we're going to do is go, ha, ha, it's all true. I do. There's going to be a laughter from us. Oh my goodness. A laughter of faith. Why? Because the promise of his coming has finally come. And you know, after 69 years in captivity, they were homesick for Jerusalem. They were homesick for the temple. But I want you to know they didn't give up. They kept pressing through. even through all of Nebuchadnezzar's stuff, false worship, idolatry, they kept the laugh of faith. Guess what? God says it's time to laugh again. Something about laughing they have proven. They have proven that laughter is one of the greatest medicines there is. A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. True story. Many decades ago, a man had terminal cancer. He was not a believer. He was in the hospital. He rented all the Three Stooges and all the comedies that there were, and for 2 weeks he watched them 24 hours a day whenever he was awake. And suddenly his body began to respond, and he walked out of there. Laughter is a medicine. How many would be honest with me and say, Pastor, I need to laugh more. I need to have the laugh of faith. I remember our first child. I was praying for a boy. I was praying for a boy. And guess what? The doctor says, you've got a girl coming. And so we decorated the baby room pink and got pink dresses and baby showers. Everything was for girls. But guess what? On that morning, it was a boy, and I let out a laughter. I was right. Hallelujah. You see, God wants you to laugh again. No, I don't laugh about things that are wrong. I don't take things trivial. I understand the seriousness of that. But I can't live there. I said I can't live there. I understand the intensity of the year we just had. I understand, but I can't live there, you see. You see, God, only God can take the burden of the world. Only God can take the burden of this nation. I'm not called to be God. I'm called to stand back and laugh in the face of the devil. Do you know that God laughs? The Bible says God laughs at the wicked every day, knowing his day is coming. God says, are you kidding me? You don't know who I am. Guess what? It's time to laugh again. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's talk about this before we get to Sarah. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. How many have shed a few tears lately? How about this last? Anybody, am I the only one shed a few tears this last year? Look at this in Isaiah 38 and verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, get that, with a perfect heart, get that, and have done that which is good, get that. Three things he said, I've walked before you in truth, I've had my heart perfect toward you, and I've done good. And Hezekiah wept sore. And then God spoke to Isaiah as he was going out from his bedroom door. He was about ready to leave the door to the outside. He said, go back and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer. Now get this next one. I've seen thy tears. These were not tears of self-pity. These were tears of connecting to a merciful God. God responds to our tears. David said, my tears are in your bottle you have stored. Not tears of self-pity, but tears to say, Lord, you're everything to me. Lord, you're my life. I walked in truth. My heart was perfect towards you. But Lord, right now this thing is overwhelming, but I'm looking to you. And the Bible says, tell him I'm going to add 15 years to his life. And I'm going to deliver you in this city out of the hands of Assyria. Look, God keeps us here to help spread the kingdom. He didn't say, I'm just going to give you 15 more years to walk through the gardens of your palace. He said, I've got you here because I'm going to use you and I'm going to defend this city. Glory to God. all the tears you've sown, all the tears you and I have sown, as long as the three things, our heart towards God, God, I'm crying, this has grieved me, I don't know what to, but I know that you're the only one that can fix this. Sometimes you can talk to your girlfriend or boyfriend or this counselor and they can help fixing it, but there's times in our life, baby, that them tears come. That's the time to be like Hezekiah. Lord, you're my life. Lord, this thing is so much bigger than I can handle. But I'm trusting. And you know, that trust is the seed for reaping the joy. And the joy is the answer from the promise, whatever the tears caused. A woman went in travail. Huh? I've seen my wife in travail 3 times. Been there for 3 deliveries. But once that baby's born, she forgets. And she has the laughter of a new baby. Amen. Now let's talk about this. I'm going to, laughter comes, and I'm going to get to Sarah after 3 things. I'm kind of laying a foundation because I'm going to continue this Sunday, but there's 3 things that we go through before laughter will manifest. It's called laughter after the test. Let me give you 3 things that we're going to walk through. How many want these 3? Number 1, difficulties. The Bible says Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, even though his body was dead and Sarah's womb was dead. Was that a difficulty? Of course it was a difficulty. The problem with today's mindset and worldview is that difficulties are something that all of us have to come under. But God says, no, you don't have to come under it. You just have to go through it. And this is where many times we lose our laughter, because we look at the difficulty as something I've got to get over it, when God says, I want you to go through it. Going through it makes me the overcomer. Avoidance doesn't make me the overcomer. Difficulties. How many have had some difficulties the last 12 months? Second thing is delays. Almost 3 decades went by before the promised child came. How many have had a few prayers that seems like they've been delayed? When is it going to happen? The third thing that I must go through is distractions. The biggest distraction from with Abraham and Sarah was Ishmael. Wrong decision. You know, on the flip side of that, it gives me hope, because of the father of faith and his wife made a major tactical error, yet the Bible says he was the friend of God. That gives me hope that some of my errors and failures, still God can work together for good. Difficulties, we got to go through it. Delays, don't be discouraged in delays. And distractions, don't produce an Ishmael while you're waiting. Don't think I can do this now. Don't think, well, I used to pray every day, but now I'm more spiritual. Don't produce no Ishmael, because it'll stop my laughter from coming. Now, with that was the introduction. You know, all the preachers say that, you know, that was the introduction. You know, that's the foundation, you know. But anyway, I guess it is. But Genesis 18:13, I love this. And it says this. Genesis 18:13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, this is really interesting here. Everybody say, this is interesting. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And God says, yes, you did laugh. But this was not the laugh of faith. This was a laugh of, I don't know. I kind of hope it's going to, I'm not sure. It's kind of borderline unbelief. And she laughed like, oh, yeah, sure. Have you ever said that? Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, that's going to happen. No, I don't know. And God says, why did you laugh? Well, I didn't laugh. You did, Sarah. And the only reason I'm correcting you is because I want you to have the real laugh. I don't want a faith that's not real. I don't want a presumptuous religiosity based on my own judgment of my own spirituality. Paul says, I judge not myself. But what I want is a faith that when God sees me every day, he says, there's my son walking by faith, not by sight. Laughing with the angels, rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. Thou did laugh, Sarah. Aren't you glad that God visits us sometimes and rebukes our unbelief? And to say I have no unbelief, to say I have no doubt, it's not true. Even Paul said, you know, that which I want to do, I don't do. Who's going to deliver me? Then if Paul had all faith, why would he tell the church, pray for me, that when I open my mouth, I might speak? If he had all faith, why would he need someone else's faith? Paul was so cast down in Macedonia that he despaired of life, the Bible says. How about that? But he says, God had mercy on us by sending Titus to refresh our souls with Titus's faith. You did laugh. But I love this. God says, I got a question for you. Sarah laughed, but Abraham, let's get back to the basics. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There are some hard things, but there's none too hard. You know, sometimes it's easier to believe for other kids' children than your own. And you know, God puts us with a family so that we can hold each other's arms like Aaron and Hur did, so that we don't give in to the despair of the Amalekites and the lies of the devil and say, well, I don't even know if God's going to do it. Amen. Sarah laughed. You see, long delays can weaken faith if we don't watch over it. I said long delays can weaken our faith if we don't watch it. When is God going to use me? When is the prodigals coming home? When is revival coming? We go back to this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You think God's up there wringing his hands about the state of our world? About the gross darkness on every continent? Do you think he's up there wondering, you know, what can I do? No, he's not. The Bible says in Hebrews that he finished his work before the foundation of the world. So he already knows what he's going to do. Second thing, Sarah treated the announcement as something incredible and hard to grasp. See, this is incredible and it's just hard for me. If you look back, You'll notice that the first couple of your years of walking with Christ, very joyful, was amazing, but we really didn't have a mature faith then. Our faith has matured since we were born again, because you can go from no faith to little faith to great faith to perfect faith. There's levels of maturity of faith. And see, she was at the place where she thought this was just so incredible. I don't know. I'm trying to grasp this thing. But see, God had mercy on her. Everybody say, God's had mercy on me. God's had mercy on us. Amen. Now, Genesis 21:5, I love this, and this is, we're going to launch off from here and start, pick this up on Sunday. And Abraham was 100 years old, and his son, when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now, here we go. Aren't you glad that your confession today is a lot better than it was 10 years ago? Your confession this year is going to be a lot better than it was in 2020. Listen to this. Sarah said, God has made me to laugh. Sometimes God has to work for us to laugh. How many would be honest with me and admit maybe you're a little more serious and intense and calculating than you should be? Both hands. When I was born, my brother, twin brother, was born first. He came out of the womb. Wow, here I am. Hey, where's the girls? Hey, where's the football team? I'm here. When I came out, what are those bright lights? What? Oh my goodness! Give me a blanket or something. Who's in charge of this thing? I've always been intense. My brother's always been the opposite. I mean, it was like, you know, people would look at us in school like, y'all are twins. Why's your brother just so intense, analytical, analyzing everything? Natural laughing doesn't come natural to me. It probably does to your personality, so not to mine. But that's okay. Because I want the laugh of faith. It says, Abraham, 100 years old, when his son Isaac was born, Sarah said, God has made me to laugh so that all that hear me will laugh with me. I remember when Rodney Howard Brown came from Australia. I remember his testimony. He was over there driving a car with one of the wheels didn't even fit right. He had no money. And God says, I'm sending you to America to cause a revival. He came over, he did a few meetings here and there, and he got alone with God. He said, God, you sent me over and nothing is happening. It was a little while later, kind of a parallel story to Catherine Kuhlman. He has a meeting. He starts off the message. A laughter breaks out. His first reaction, well, what's, you know, what did I say? Is you know, did I say something dumb? Or is I have something on my face and everything? But after about 10 minutes, he realized it was the Holy Spirit. And people came down and got saved. I went to one of his crusades when he was, I mean, thousands there. I'm telling you, the joy of Jesus. I can't even put it into words. There was a holy laughter there. Some people criticized it. You think, I care. I experienced it. It was real. And a lot of times, other evangelists or pastors, they're jealous. Nothing happening. And here's this guy. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with God's people laughing? What's wrong with a new joy? Why would people criticize that? I've experienced it. The joy of the Lord. In our church in Pittston, we had an evangelist from Australia that had been a lot of them. He came, and the third night, my goodness, we were laughing. I was on the rolling on the floor and laughed. That was not me. I was thinking, Bill, you got to be more dignified than this. But it was a flow. God wants to do it again. I said, God wants to do it again. It seems like we've got everything but that. We've got teaching. We've got this and gifts and instruments and music. We've got this. But you know what? It's the joy that brings the harvest in. It's not just having everything in order in church. It's not just having joy brings the harvest in. And I'm believing God, like Sarah, that there's coming a joy to this house and a joy to our lives that we, like Sarah, will say, God has made me to laugh again, and all those around me will know something's up in Zion. Give him a praise, somebody. It's still the joy of the Lord that's my strength. It's still the joy knowing that one day I will shed this tabernacle, and one day I will look in his eyes. One day I will greet my loved ones who have passed. One day I will greet the saints of old. You see, what the church needs today is the laugh of faith. Thank God for the worship movement. Thank God for the word movement in the 70s. Thank God for the faith movement. Thank God, thank God. But without that laughter, without that joy, it's hard to convince people to live for God. Joy is supernatural. You can't work it up. You can't read funny stories to get it. It's a supernatural manifestation. And I remember the thing, and my wife does too, the thing when we came during the Jesus Movement revival, when I came, I felt the joy in the service I've never experienced. It was just like liquid all around me, lifted up the depression, lifted out all the negativity. Thank God for that. If I had gone to the house of God and it was the same, okay, this, I said, okay, time to go home. I don't know. But I know God orders our steps. I'm just wondering, how many people have been so churchized, they know where the offering is, they know where the prophecies fit, they know where the sermon's going, but houses of worship are lacking that laughter. What's going to capture them? The laugh of faith. I'm going to pray at the end, and I'm going to believe God for you personally and for this house to be such a touch of his joy and laughter, the laugh of faith that will lift heavy burdens. I remember being in some meetings and people being touched by the power of God and lay there for hours. Can't even move. I remember one time when I was in the rock church, when I had it in the gym. I remember we were singing Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The choir was singing it. They sang it once. We got singing it. They sang it twice. And the third time they sang it, before God, I lie not. I felt like I had, like there was a warm, I can't describe it. It kind of freaked me out, my mind a little bit, because I just had been saved a few months before. It was like this thing I could experience. It was like God just all over me, and I started shaking, and I'm not that type of person, just shakes at everything. I mean, it was like I could hardly breathe, and it was like a laughter. It was like a joy I hadn't experienced. We need it again, folks. We need people to experience God in this house. And he wants to do it, and he wants to use us as a remnant to be like Sarah and protect that laugh of faith, and to let him bathe us continually in his wonderful presence. Sarah said, God has made me to laugh again. And everybody will laugh with me. How many have a friend or someone you can just laugh with? Something about laughter, isn't there? My wife and I, we laugh all the time. Didn't used to be that way. It's too intense. But we laugh now. We laugh at each other. We laugh at our dumb mistakes. We just laugh with a good heart and fun. But I believe that Jesus laughs too. He lifted up his hands as he rejoiced before the Father God. Laughter originates with God. Man didn't originate laughter. God did. He laughs every day, as I said. How many would just agree with me tonight that all the wonderful things we have here, and we thank God for all, that God in 2021 would add the laughter of faith in this house. That whenever he wants to interrupt the preacher, as he did with so many of his servants, and when Catherine Kuhlman in her book, Daughter of Destiny, admitted she fell in love with an evangelist and he divorced his wife and married her. She wrote it all down. And that she would sit on the platform while he preached and inside she was dying. She knew she had should not have done that. This is before the miracles happened. And one day she's walking along the road and she comes and all of a sudden she comes to the end of the road and there's a sign that says dead end. And she looked at that sign and she realized. She went back and said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. I was so wrong. It was about a year later. She's in a meeting. There's about 30 people. She said, read her book, Daughter of Destiny. She was just teaching, basic teaching. And after at the close, a lady said, Catherine, can I say something? Sure. While you were speaking, I had a tumor on my leg. It disappeared instantly. From that moment on, she has one of the greatest healing revivals ministry there ever has been. Read her other books about the miracles that happened. She was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that while she was preaching, she stopped. There was like 20,000 people in the auditorium. She stopped and said, someone over there is grieving the Holy Spirit. And she started weeping. He's all I've got. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of her old footage on YouTube. When people would come up after they'd been healed. She didn't even lay hands on them. They were healed instantly. They would come up and say what happened. She would be so much full of joy. Oh, look. Oh, what God's done. And then she'd say, Lord, bless them. And out they'd go. Under the power of God. We need the laugh of joy, the laugh of faith. If you're watching tonight, the Bible says that God will turn your sorrow into joy. God wants you to not live the rest of your life out in heaviness. He said, take my yoke. Learn of me. My burden isn't like that. Remember, Jesus put the local church here to be an expression of his hand of compassion, teaching, and love. Be part of a local church. Join us here at the Rock Church of Petersburg, and let's together seek this laugh of faith. I pray. God bless you tonight.